If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Promised Land podcast. I'm talking after the calendar year annual smoking of Manchester United by Liverpool. 3-0 at Old Trafford on Sunday. I'm bringing this to you on Monday morning because I simply just could not face talking about what we just saw. But obviously, I know that I've had a few messages. Can't wait to hear your take. Trying to be as reasoned as possible. I mean, look, that game was an abomination. It really was. And United are plunged into the same troubles as last season already after 3 Premier League games. So it's definitely a chastening defeat. Not a good day at Old Trafford for a lot of people, namely Casemiro, Erik ten Hag, and a few others as well. But Liverpool absolutely dominating United. They wiped the floor with them. And it's not a good moment, is it? It's really not. We're going into an international break now where the pressure, all that pressure that Erik ten Hag had on him towards the end of last season before winning the FA Cup, we're right back there. We are really right back there. And things have got to change pretty soon. You wonder just how long he's going to get, because when a manager from the same league that you managed in comes into a new club and your biggest rival and absolutely wipes the floor with your tactics, you know, questions are going to be asked. And obviously, Arne Slot's a genius. Erik ten Hag is a fraud. That's the overwhelming narrative here. But I'm going to talk about the differences maybe between the situations that they've both gone into here, because, you know, they were... United had their moments. They just really, really did not make the right decisions in those moments. A lot of errors from a lot of players. And in those kinds of games, when Liverpool are as good a pressing team as they are and have been for a number of years under Jurgen Klopp, then you're going to get punished for it if you make the wrong decisions. And United were punished for it 3 times, could have been more as well, at Old Trafford on Sunday. And it's that familiar old feeling, isn't it, of, oh, we're going through this again, are we? And it's not ideal at all. But I'm Scott from the Promised Land podcast. Please subscribe to the channel if you've not done so already on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify for audio as well. I come to you twice a week-ish, maybe sometimes more. But try and bring you as reasoned and not reactionary thoughts as possible. Because obviously we live in a world of like extremes, and this is the worst thing I've ever seen. This is the best thing I've ever seen. You know, it's not always the case. It's always somewhere in the middle. Never too high, never too low, as Rob coined that phrase, never too high, never too low. And I can imagine some people are feeling pretty low right now. So let's just try and get you back to the middle if I can. That's going to be what I'm going to try and do. But obviously conscious of all the noise that is going to go on around this manager and around this club over the next 2 weeks, because we're in an international break and United have just been absolutely smashed by Liverpool. Liverpool, 3 out of 3 in the league without conceding a goal. United have lost 2 out of 3 in their first few games of the season. And it's just not the season start that everybody wanted or hoped for. And I'll talk about the manager today. I'll talk about Casemiro. I'll talk about some of Arne Slot's comments, which I thought were quite interesting as well. Obviously, we're seeing that if you watch the Sky Sports coverage or have been on social media in the aftermath of that game, the narrative is, oh, look, he broke down in 2 minutes exactly all the problems that United have and how to exploit them. He's a genius. And look, Arne Slot and Liverpool deserve a hell of a lot of credit for yesterday because they absolutely schooled United. They did. But I think the two are in different situations, and I'll explain why throughout this show. I'm not going to try and... Maybe it will come across as a defense of Ten Hag. I'm very much not in that camp. I mean, I have been, obviously, and I've been asking for time for him, but, you know, there are times where he's in his third season now, and obviously questions are going to be asked. If things don't improve, and you've got to see steps forward, we really do have to this season, but how much time is he going to get? And that is the big question. We all know that the Ineos contract that was given to him was an extension, not a renewal. And he's got just under 2 years left on it and was given a stay of execution, a chance to improve things. And look, we're not going to see big changes really until the massive holes in this team are plugged. And United have signed Manuel Ugarte. He was presented to the Old Trafford crowd yesterday before the game. And what United are stuck with are they were 2 for 3 in the midfield yesterday. Obviously Liverpool played maybe their press was similar, like they both pressed with 4, but Liverpool's patterns of play and patterns of pressing have been instilled in that team and maybe tweaked a little bit for a number of years. And United and Ten Hag are still trying to move from the counter-attacking style that they've had under Jose Mourinho, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and all these managers and players in the past. The team was built for that. If anything, I mean, if you can credit the squad with being built with a tactical identity, maybe you can't. But what Ten Hag is trying to do is modernize United's play and play in a way that can hang with the way that the big teams play. And at the moment, it can't. So how much time is he going to get? We'll see. Things have got to turn around pretty fast for him. Otherwise, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. And, you know, the way that he reacted in his own post-match press conference last night, biting back at journalists, I'm sorry for you, was one of his quotes. And look, I mean, in that situation, you're going to be rattled, right? I thought maybe the question was a little bit rude, but you know, the way that he's coming across, calling himself not Harry Potter, you know, in reference to fixing things immediately. They do have some credence, those words, but at the same time, you know the way that the world is nowadays. You know the way that the magnifying glass is put on Man United at every turn, every bad result, every failure to win, and the pressure's on. It really, really is. So I'll talk about that a little bit more. And obviously there are still some hangovers from the way that United have done business over the last few years. And they're still paying for it on the pitch. They're still paying for it on the pitch. And obviously people will say, oh, he signed Manuel Ugarte, or United have signed Manuel Ugarte. Well, he wasn't on the pitch yesterday. So you're going to see the same issues in the likes of Casemiro that have been obvious. They were obviously there last season as well, but as long as he's still on the pitch, it's not like these problems are going to miraculously be fixed in a moment just because another player's turned up and he's not on the pitch. So, you know, it's a bad situation. It's a bad situation and things need to turn around fast. But yeah, give me a follow as well on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, TikTok, and Instagram as well. Thanks for all the follows on IG. Really appreciate it. And I will start posting on this soon as well. But yeah, if you haven't followed me on there already, please do. Look, I've just touched on the pressure on the manager. And obviously, there is going to be massive pressure on Erik ten Hag over the next couple of weeks. But the time is on. He can't go to Southampton to lose. Let's just say that, because it's gonna get to the point of unbearable if it isn't already. Southampton at 12:30 is the first game back after the international break for United in a few weeks' time. And this is a new team that's been promoted from the Championship, regarded as being like a very heavy favourite to go down. I know that I thought they'd end up coming bottom two. They went to Newcastle, played against 10 men for most of the game, failed to score, failed to win. And, you know, you'd think that United are going to have to brush these aside, but that's going to be a big job. It's going to be a big job, and that United have to get a result there for the sake of the manager. Otherwise, the slippery slope is going to continue. And if United get to the next international break in October, having not improved things, they've got some difficult fixtures as well. Tottenham at home. I think they've got Aston Villa at some point in the next few weeks. They've got another difficult game at Crystal Palace, where they lost 4-0 last season, coming up as well. And these games, as much as you'd expect United to win them, if they don't, if they lose, then the pressure's only going one way and it's going to get worse. But I know there's a bunch or a large contingent of people who are very split on the manager. A lot of people would have liked to have seen a change at the end of last season regardless. I, for one, was very much in the camp of give him a chance, give him a chance to show what he's worth, give him a chance to turn things around. And look, after three games, when the midfield issue, which is painfully obviously needs to be fixed, he's trying to transition into a different system, or like there's a different press this year. There's more of a 4-2-4. And if you're in a midfield two and you don't have the energy in there, Casemiro in the main case here, but like Kobbie Mainoo had a poor game yesterday as well. And I have some concerns over how he fits in to this midfield two at the moment. He got dispossessed for the third goal, and maybe looking at Kobbie Mainoo, you'd say that as great as he is, some of the aspects of his game that aren't as strong are his ability to, you know, get around the pitch and cover ground and make tackles and just be constantly an engine for the entire game. Maybe he's not suited to the way that Ten Hag is playing this midfield. So we'll see how he copes in the next few weeks and months with, if Ten Hag gets months, that is, with playing in this system unless he changes it. But I think Ten Hag has obviously worked on this in pre-season, and I think with Mason Mount in there, like, I'm not going to go and say that one injury has cost United, but I said it after the first two games, that I thought United's control and press and just general compactness was much better with Mason Mount on the pitch, even if the goal threat wasn't there. And obviously Mason Mount's now injured, and Joshua Zirkzee played in his place yesterday. Didn't have a great game, really, really didn't. But, you know, he's still adjusting to life. It was his first start. And yeah, there's a lot of problems. But what Erik ten Hag is trying to do, and I'll start with this, I suppose. What Erik ten Hag is trying to do is modernize the United's football. And it's not coming up. We're not seeing the identity that everybody wants to see. But the reason why we're not seeing it is because the execution is so bad at the moment. And Casemiro is, unfortunately, the one player on that pitch yesterday. And there was a lot of bad performances, a lot of poor decisions from the likes of Bruno Fernandes as well. Marcus Rashford, I've seen, is getting some stick as well. He looks really short of confidence. But Casemiro was the big thing that stood out. And he was subbed at halftime for Toby Collier, having contributed to the two mistakes which led to Liverpool's first two goals. And there's no way to say he could not have stayed on the pitch in the second half. There was no way. It was that bad a performance. And you really do worry for a player so storied and having achieved so much. It's really sad. It is really sad. But the Premier League is incredibly cutthroat. And Liverpool are an incredibly cutthroat team. And they have one of the best forwards in Premier League history in Mo Salah, who absolutely tore United to shreds yesterday. He really did. And he's reveling in that. He scored 15 goals against United. 6 more than anybody else in this fixture, which is the only thing, the only kind of positive and solace that I took from it yesterday was he went on the touchline afterwards and said on TV that this is his last year at Liverpool. So whether he's asking for a new contract or whether he is, he's just going to leave at the end of the season. Hopefully that's the last time he ever plays at Old Trafford. We'll see, because he absolutely tortured United over and over again at Anfield and Old Trafford over the last few years. He's an incredible footballer. United do not have anybody near his level. And he makes the right decisions. He's a killer. And look, made a big difference yesterday. 2 assists and a goal in the second half as well. But Casemiro, I'm seeing people suggest, and I'm just going through what I see on social media, that they would have preferred Casemiro to be sold before Scott McTominay. And I think everybody would agree with that. Everybody would agree with that. But the problem you've got is that there's no buyers for Casemiro, because United have given him, at 29, 30 years old, a contract which is among the highest earning in the Premier League, for £60 million or whatever, however much it was. Real Madrid would have laughed to the bank cashing that. They would have been laughing, getting that much money. That was, it's around 2 years ago, right? Yeah, around about 2 years ago, around this time of year, where United signed him. And obviously the decline was going to come. He's 32 and he's been given a payday, obviously. And look, Casemiro's first season was really good for the most part, obviously. But if Erik ten Hag is trying to use Casemiro in a midfield that requires you to be dynamic, requires you to have energy, requires you to make good decisions. And decision-making obviously gets worse as well, the more tired you get. And I feel like the way Casemiro is asked to be running around is, he just can't do it. Even at his pomp, even at his peak, Casemiro's job was sit in front of a defense with Toni Kroos and Luka Modric alongside you, two of the best passers of the ball, short passes, long passes, whatever, in this generation of football. They've won 5 Champions Leagues or whatever it's been, possibly more. I can't remember who's won what now exactly, but it is, Casemiro was never this player. Casemiro, even at his best, was never suited to a system like Erik ten Hag is playing. And how much blame you put on ten Hag there, people will blame him for it. I feel like we're at the point now where he's going to have to start taking some of that blame. But where do you draw the line? You know, ten Hag is trying to get an idea of playing across, and he's trying to work on certain patterns and trying to work on a certain style and getting United used to it. You kind of have to make that jump, even if you don't have all the players for it. And I think Casemiro is noticeably not able to play in this team. So Ten Hag has the decision to make of, do you sacrifice your end goal of where I want to take this team tactically for the sake of one or two players, or do I just go with it and just like live through these awful days and awful moments? Because Casemiro had an absolute shocker yesterday. He really, really did. And there was a moment where, you know, I was obviously, I think the one for me, as bad as the moments were where he gave the two goals away, there's a moment where he had the ball on the touchline in possession, was being pressed by a Liverpool player, and he kind of just let the ball escape him, thinking that he would go out for a throw-in, but it stayed on, and it just looked like he lost possession and just stood there and just gave up and let Liverpool have the ball. And that's exactly what happened. But think of how exhausted he must have been in that moment. How exhausted he must have been to not continue fighting for that. But what Ten Hag is asking here is for lots of energy from his midfielders. And unfortunately, what you have to do and what you have to have in order to play football like this is have players who can run. And that's why Man United have signed Mamadou Ugarte. He obviously wasn't registered in time. Ten Hag said in his post-match yesterday that he's not even going to be ready straight away because he's barely played any football after the Copa America. And we've seen over the last few weeks how much Ten Hag has wanted to hold players back who've been playing at tournaments. Matthias De Ligt, obviously. Joshua Zirkzee as well. They only got their first starts after three games and a couple of weeks worth of training. So what happens with Ugarte? I think he might have been called up to the Uruguay team as well. So if he has been, I should have checked that before I said it, but you'd imagine he's in it. There's an international break coming. There's travel around the world for him. And how soon is he going to be ready? Can you point the fingers at the people in charge of transfers? I'm sure people will. But at the same time, what would you prefer? Paying 5 million more or 10 million more for a player just to get him in 2 or 3 weeks earlier? Or would you prefer saving the money in order to help yourself in the long run, knowing your results in the league in the meantime are probably going to suffer? So this is just the way it is, right? But the obvious thing is that Casemiro is not cut out for the system, not cut out for, you know, I think he's got 2 years left on his contract at United. 2 or 3. And he's one of the club's highest earners. United tried to ship him in the summer. There was no interest. Barely any. There was hope that Saudi Arabian move would come around, and the Saudi Arabia transfer window closes tonight on Monday. Closes tonight. Will there be some magical offer? I don't know. There's not going to be, is there? But I really feel for Casemiro. I really do. And as much as, you know, we all know now, we knew for a few months that this league was going to leave him in his wake, in its wake. It's sad to see the decline of a player as good as he has been, but Arne Slot said it. And Arne Slot said it in his post-match. He went on Sky and he spoke for a few minutes and was asked about how what he spotted in United's tactics this season and how he exploited it. And there were a couple of things. Obviously, that Liverpool played through United really, really well. But I think that the key thing that underpins everything is the energy in midfield. One of his, this is a direct quote from him, "You need midfielders that can run. We've had three of them." How many midfielders that can run have United got? Casemiro, I spent 5 minutes talking about him. He just can't. He cannot do it. And if you're carrying one passenger who cannot cover the space, and then you've got other midfielders who are completely in line with modern football that can run all day, it's inevitable that one team is going to overpower the other one. I mentioned my concerns about playing Mainoo in that two as well. Probably much better in a three, isn't he? But, you know, that way that demand, I mean, it's Mamadou Ugarte is going to have to be some kind of miracle worker. He's going to have to be N'Golo Kante type levels of energy if he's going to fix this. And like, obviously there is a lot made of his ability to cover ground and ability to intercept passes and this kind of thing. But, you know, the system is adventurous in the best word. You can use others, which are more negative, obviously. But look, he's been brought in for a specific reason. Ineos have identified him, and he is very much more of an Ineos push than an Erik ten Hag push. So we'll see how he integrates when he starts to integrate. But the obvious thing here is, you know, that area is a problem, and it has been a problem for a long, long time. And if that problem is in your center, good grief. Good grief.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The thing is, though, right, that I'm not going to lean on the statistics, but obviously the stats tell you, like, they don't tell the story of the game, because I don't think the game was actually that even though the stats tell you that it was, because when Liverpool went 2-0 up, I think that was it. And it was just a case of how bad this is going to be, because United have this habit of not reacting to adversity very well. Their heads drop and, you know, we've been here before. Liverpool have beaten us 5-0 at Old Trafford. They beat us 7-0 at Anfield. They've beaten us 4-0 at Anfield. And now a 3-0 at Old Trafford as well. One in each year for 2021, 22, 23, and 24. Let's hope that trend stops pretty soon. But United had... I think the big difference for me was just how... not only the energy in the midfield and the ability to cover ground, but it's the decision-making by Liverpool. It was a little bit rugged in the first 20 or so minutes, and obviously they scored and had a goal ruled out for offside, a marginal one when Salah was offside. But that was the warning sign that we can do this. Liverpool passed through United at will. They really, really did. But let's not act like United didn't have their own chances to pass through Liverpool's team. Like, the execution was just really poor. And sometimes throughout the game, they actually did it and got into the final third and got into moments where they could have created a chance for themselves. But Bruno Fernandes, in particular, had the ball on the edge of the box, especially in the first half, on quite a few occasions, and made the wrong decision. Really made the wrong decision. There was one moment where he was leading... or had the ball, and was running at the Liverpool defence with support either side of him. One moment he passed it to Joshua Zirkzee, who was too close to him and wasn't expecting it because I think he thought that the ball would go wide. And obviously United lost possession and Xerxes' performance wasn't great, but he missed a few chances himself. If he'd have put one or two of those chances in, maybe we'd be talking differently today. But he had a difficult day. But Bruno Fernandes, I think in those moments, United did get into position. Sometimes they did break through Liverpool and used the ball absolutely terribly. There was another moment with Bruno Fernandes in possession where I think he had Garnacho on the right side. I think he had Xerxes around him or ahead of him and Marcus Rashford on the left. And the easier pass, the sensible pass there would have been just open your body out and put it into Garnacho's pass so he can get down the line and run it into the box. There was a moment where in that situation, Bruno Fernandes opts instead to go to Marcus Rashford on the left side, but where there's more clutter in Liverpool's defense. So obviously more players to cut the ball out. The ball was cut out, obviously. So it's just a bad decision. And I'm talking about bad decisions in the final third. Obviously then you combine that with poor decisions in your own defense or from Casemiro and poor execution of passes. You get punished for it if you're playing against a press that is as good as Liverpool's is and as well constructed and has been worked on for as long as Liverpool's has been, you know? Liverpool absolutely picked United off so many times in whether that's through Lisandro Martinez, who I don't think has actually had a great start to the season, really hasn't. His passes, he's been known for being really good out of possession in his position, but over the past few games, really, really not very good. Hopefully he can start to improve. But the amount of times Liverpool cut balls out of United's from Casemiro or from Martinez or from another defender. So concerning. But what if those passes come off? Like, you know, United are out. So you can, as much as you talk about United not having an identity and this kind of thing, if those situations and those passes are actually successful, you're talking very, very differently, but they just weren't because Liverpool's press was really good and the execution was really bad. The decisions were really bad. In the lead up to the first goal, Casemiro's decision to pass it to the left side, again, I think he was going to Rashford or somebody, or there was two players waiting there, maybe Dalot as well. If you make that decision and get it wrong in that position, you are going to get killed. You are going to. And Liverpool absolutely took their chances. They really did. And crucially, Liverpool also don't make those mistakes in their own defense. So, look, it's a bad one. It really is. It's a bad one. But when we talk about lack of identity and this kind of thing, I really think if better decisions are made and if execution's better, we're talking differently. But if you're six or your centre back is giving the ball away in his own half when United are trying to get out, you're going to get what happened yesterday. And as much as you want to talk about no identity being there, like you can see what Ten Hag is trying to do is just, you might say it's a bad idea. And of course you can criticize him. He's not going to be, I can't sit here and defend him. Like it's not, we're not in that position anymore. It's year three. And I'm just trying to think of like what he's asking his players to do. And how, if it was done better, what the end result would be. But it takes a hell of a lot of bravery. It really does. But against Liverpool, this one of the best pressing teams in the league, they will punish you. And that's what we've seen. So it's really not a good day. Not a good day at all. Please let me know what you think in the comments of everything I've just said there. I'll talk about Arne Slot in a little bit and the differences, I suppose, between him and Erik ten Hag. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you thought of that game. Drop a comment in the YouTube channel. Like the stream as well. Please do. If you watch the show, please like the stream. It will really help. Drop a comment as well and let me know what you think. I'm completely aware here that Ten Hag is not going to have too long if this continues. It's fair. It's correct. But, you know, if you've got a player who just cannot fit in the system that you're trying to play, you can criticize Ten Hag for persisting with the system if he's not got the right players. But you can also see that he's trying, but his players are letting him down. So it's a bit of double-edged sword, you know. And yeah, please get in the comments and please follow at @_ScottSaunders as well. The links are in the description of the show. But I'll just talk a little bit more about what Arne Slot said, because I thought it was quite interesting. He obviously said you need midfielders that can run, and we had three of them. Talked about that already. And he also talked about leaving his wide forwards, Salah and Luis Diaz, who were the people that scored the goals, leaving them high. But he demands a lot of those players as well. And one of the other things he said was, if they sprint back, it's not a gamble. And just how much energy underpins everything. It really does. And I'm not going to go at Marcus Rashford here, but he looks really short of confidence. But do you get the same thought of, and yes, he does it sometimes, but maybe this is for both players. Do you think United's wide players sprint back as hard as Liverpool's? You know, I don't personally. And this is why Liverpool are a very good team that have been built in a certain way for a number of years, which means that they have more success and Arne Slot can more, pardon the pun, slot in there and carry on the good work that Jurgen Klopp did. You could see, and I'll go back to the Jurgen Klopp's first season at Liverpool and when his first few games, and how he asked for his players to continue to run. Yes, of course. Like, you saw an immediate difference straight away, and like, things got better. He had some awful moments as well, but things got better pretty quickly. Ten Hag is dealing with a completely different set of players to what Liverpool were at that time. Liverpool were an absolute mess when Jurgen Klopp came in, and obviously Brendan Rodgers had taken them to a certain point, but there was a big fall off, and what Klopp was dealing with was a bunch of players who were coachable. Let's say that, right? Erik ten Hag has taken over a team that, yes, he's made a lot of signings, but he's managing big players with big reputations and having to change their mind and making them buy into the style of play that he wants them to play. And some of them might think, I earn a hell of a lot of money here. I'm more proven than you, in Casemiro's case. So, you know, it's so much, and Ten Hag was asked about this before the game, it's so much easier for Arne Slot to move into this Liverpool team and continue the good work that Jurgen Klopp has compared to Erik ten Hag's ability to completely overhaul the playing style of a team that has been a counter-attacking team for a long, long time. And this may come across as a defense for Erik ten Hag, but he's in this place now where obviously he's got a decision to make. And it seems like the decision for the last 2 years has been, I'm going to play my way. And if the results are bad, then we're just going to have to suck it up. And we're just going to have to wait until all the different parts of my team are built to properly in order for my system to actually look like it makes sense. Slot, meanwhile, has got this team of high energy players that Liverpool arranged their, from the top of the club, Michael Edwards, that kind of thing, Julian Ward, who was there before, they arranged their structure, and along with Jurgen Klopp, a long, long time ago, and they've been buying players for a specific ideal and a specific style of play for a long time. And obviously, Arne Slot now fits into that. They spent some time looking at statistics, this kind of thing, and Arne Slot has made the most sense in terms of the numbers and the statistics to come and slot in, I've used that pun again, and continue the work that Jurgen Klopp's been doing. So obviously, it's going to look pretty seamless. There's some differences, obviously, with players taking up different positions. But they've been shown to play the modern style of football that every big club wants to play for 5, 6, 7 years. Ten Hag is still going through this phase of trying to change United from this team of high-paid individuals who you can maybe accuse of being more in this for themselves than for the team. I don't know. Like maybe that's me being harsh, but you know, that's what United have to fix. That's what the United have to change. And if you have little holes in your team, they turn out to be really, really big ones. United are still paying for poor market decisions. And I talked about Casemiro earlier on, 2 years or so to the day around this time where United signed him. And you knew at some point it would catch up with them. And that decision was made with Erik ten Hag in as manager, obviously. So he does maybe deserve some comeback on that because it was him who helped sign off the deal. But at that time, when you think back to that time, United were desperate, absolutely desperate because they'd just been smashed 4-0 by Brentford. God, so many hammerings. So many hammerings I've mentioned. And this is another one. So many hammerings I've mentioned over the past few years. They're still paying for bad decisions in the transfer market that they've made. Casemiro was never going to be the type of player to be able to play in a midfield two that covers ground all day. He just wasn't going to. His best was protecting the defense with two of the best midfielders we've seen in a generation. Now you're asking him at 32 to not only play in a league that is much higher in energy, requires you to cover a lot more ground, but with less protection as well. And it's a big shame. It's a really big shame. But honestly, I have to talk about Ten Hag here. Just to wrap up, I'm just checking my notes here to see if I've missed anything that I wanted to say. But yeah, I've got this written down. I've already touched on it already. But the reason why it was so bad, poor decisions, poor execution, less energy. And Casemiro is going to get the headlines, obviously. But I think Casemiro was not the only player who had an absolute stinker yesterday. Matthijs de Ligt, I thought, was actually pretty good, especially for the opening half an hour. But it's like a house of cards, isn't it? And this is one of Ten Hag's quotes. It's like a house of cards. If something isn't working properly, then everything's going to collapse. And that's just what we have seen in this performance yesterday. And it's going to come back on him. It's going to come back on him. And I do have to address this towards the end. I'll wrap up with it. The pressure is on him. No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. And I understand if you're listening to this and you're like, you're being too nice to him. You're being too nice to him. Maybe I am, but I'm also just thinking of like, how do you think another manager comes in and immediately fixes all the issues that he's got? Maybe they play differently and they fix like that. But then how long is it until you say, Thomas Tuchel's come in and his football's boring? You know it's going to happen, right? You know it's going to happen. So what I'm saying is here that Ten Hag is going to, the pressure is on him now. He needs to, after this international break, come back and string wins together. And ideally, this team needs to start playing and connecting the dots, playing the way that he wants them to play, with less mistakes, because there were so many in this Liverpool game. And if he doesn't, maybe he changes the system, I don't know. But if he comes back and United lose it, oh God, if United lose at Southampton, good grief. The pressure will be on him. Ineos gave him a year extension to his contract that he already had as a sign of backing him, but not really. And finishing low or losing a couple of the next few games and not picking up 3 points. If United are in the position that they're in the table come the next international break, I really, really worry. I worry for him. But there's pressure on for him to get it right. There really is. And let's hope Manuel Ugarte is a miracle worker whenever he's ready. He's going to have to be, because Casemiro is leave the football before the football leaves you. I actually talked about that quote on a recent podcast from Jamie Carragher, and the football has now left him, especially in this way, especially in this system. I've no doubt he could go into another team, play in a different system, and just do the basics of what he's good at and look competent still. But in a team like United are trying to play, in a system like United are trying to play, he's not cut out for it anymore. And the very fact that he was subbed off for a player making his Premier League debut from the academy says as much as you need to know about how bad it was, because it was. So, look, that's my kind of breakdown on this Liverpool game. We're in a bad situation. If this is a bad situation, but the scoreline and the way that it went was so bad. But a lot of it is down to bad decisions and bad execution and not being able to deal with the energy that Liverpool have. But United have put certain new players in place that are just not up to speed yet, not cooked up yet, and not even in the team yet, like Manuel Ugarte, to play this system. And the thing is that Ten Hag is going to have to get these players in, like Ugarte, and get them working really, really quickly for his system to show that it actually has merit. Because if you're still getting the bad side of this, he's going to be on borrowed time, and Ineos are going to have to make a decision. Like, we will see how patient they are with this. But you see, Sir Jim Ratcliffe, kind of, if you're watching on YouTube, putting my or if you're listening, I'm putting my head in my hands here, looking down at the ground. There's an image of him doing that yesterday. This is, and I'll refer back to my tweet from the other day, which I pinned to my X profile, and I'll quote it. I think I kept it there purposely just in case that this Liverpool game went as bad as it did. Man United have had, for my money, a very good window. Problem positions with Ugarte's arrival have been filled. Left back is still an issue, among other positions. The club, though, are raising money through sales for the first time in years, but this is not a job done, simply a step one in a longer journey. The squad will take a number of years to revamp to the point where it's ready to challenge at the top again. And even in top games against big opposition, playing the high energy, high intensity football that Liverpool play. Just added that in. Plenty more players have to go. Casemiro. And more of the right depth needs to be built. So you got Ugarte in Casemiro's place and then Toby Collier. Really? That's all you got? And what if Minu gets an injury? Do you think Christian Eriksen can go in there and play this way? No, absolutely not. And while it's right to hold United to high standards of competing for titles, it's super important to look at the bigger picture. The team's been mismanaged for so long that it's impossible to undo all of the mistakes in one summer. And I've talked about in today's episode, Casemiro being one of the biggest mistakes that they've made. And Rob and I went on this podcast after he signed and said, this is an expensive mistake. He was good for a few months, playing in a different system that was more defensive and more willing to sit in. Now we're moving to a point where Ten Hag is trying to transition the style of play, and he's sticking out like a sore thumb. He really is. So you can look at mismanaged for so long. Actually, this tweet is actually really, really relevant right now. While it's right to hold United to high standards and compete for titles, it's super important to look at the bigger picture. I know I've just said this, but the team has been mismanaged for so long that it's impossible to undo all of the mistakes in one summer. There's still mistakes that have been made that are still coming up as mistakes in matches. But what you can say is the manager has more tools to deliver now deliver how he wants to play. He does. We didn't get to see it in Manuel Ugarte yesterday. But he needs to get in that team and fast. I think this is a risk that you have to take. If he's not fit enough, he needs to just come in there and show that there are ways that he can fix this team. Because it's a lot to ask, but United have put faith in him. They spent a lot of money on him. So it's got to work. This is a new transfer team, a new system. This has got to work. It really does. It's time to start moving forward completely in the knowledge that there will be bumps along the way. And this was one of the biggest bumps you can possibly imagine. So Liverpool absolutely smashing Manchester United at Old Trafford on Sunday. Not very encouraging, let's just say that. But hopefully today I've managed to just talk through the problems that United still have, because you're not going to get people coming out in like a small tweet or whatever saying nothing is nuanced, nothing on social media. Like, everything is extreme. And hopefully in this 45 minutes or so, I've tried to kind of explain. And maybe you think I'm talking nonsense, and maybe do. If you think I am, let me know. But I think this identity chat that we're all talking about with Ten Hag, the lack of it, I think he's trying to implement it. It just looks so bad at the moment. It looks so bad because the execution is bad. That's kind of how I think about it. And look, he really needs to start pulling up some results. Otherwise, I'm going to be on this podcast over the next few weeks saying it's a matter of time. And we're nearly entering that range. I know that some people who thought he should have left at the end of last season have a very, very strong case now. This isn't the way to treat it. It's not about I win, you win. You know, I was right about the manager. I'm right about the manager. You're wrong. You know, it doesn't need to be about that. United are trying to go on a journey that is moving them from being completely inept at playing modern football. And it's still there. But what Ten Hag is trying to do is evolve this team. And it's painful. It really is. He's trying his very best. But yeah, maybe you can look at some of the decisions he's making in terms of the personnel that he sticks with and criticize him for that. And maybe you can. Like, maybe that's completely fair. But it's got to get better at some point soon and fast. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about another manager that's failed at Manchester United. And it's unfortunate. But I've been Scott Saunders. Please follow me on social media at @_ScottSaunders. All the links are in the description. Please drop me a follow on Instagram in particular, if you can. Also Twitter as well. Twitter's been doing as bad as it is nowadays. Like, feel like at times when you see such negativity, you know, it's easy to think a certain way. But you know, I feel like the tweet I put out the other day is still pretty relevant, especially at a time like this. But you're not going to get it from a lot of places. You're really not. Try not to panic. as bad as it is, maybe you could see a sharp increase if some of these some of the execution is better. I don't know. It's a lot to ask, though. Please subscribe to the show as well on Apple and Spotify for audio, and on YouTube as well, the Promised Land and Man United podcast. And drop a comment, leave a like on the stream as well. Would really appreciate it. So thanks for listening, everyone. I'm really sorry that United have been battered by Liverpool again. Let's hope it's the last time, but you know, you wouldn't be surprised if it's not. And I'll see you later this week. I wanted to do more of a breakdown on United's transfer market and what positions need to be filled in the next few windows, because I've just talked about the depth there. United have got Ugarte in and Kobbie Mainoo, but under that, what is there? If you get an injury again, you're right back to the situation we saw yesterday. So maybe I'll talk about that later this week. It's an international break now, so try and detach from football, I'd say. The weather's getting a bit miserable in the UK, a little bit cloudy, but it's still warm enough to be able to get out there, get some sunlight in, try and forget about the football for a while, and you know, put this to the back of your mind, because I think you need to. If you think about this stuff all day, you're just going to get down in the dumps and you're going to think it's the end of the world. So just try and escape football for a while. When it's this bad, you need an escape. So that's my advice. But yeah, hopefully this helped. If there's anybody who's feeling particularly angry or like at a loss, hopefully something I said has resonated, and we'll see where we go from here. But I'll be back later in the week, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And see you soon. Not a good day for Man United.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Marino believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Marino take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by Wynn Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WynnSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.